Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m., and we wanted to give a shout-out to Faith and Connie. Welcome.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, we want to acknowledge Women's History Month. We're on the move, women. We're on the move, and it really shows when, lately, with the women marches. That's been very powerful to see so many women coming out and speaking openly about what's happening in our country, in our world. So, I would like to welcome in studio tonight, we have Jesse Hankins.
Hello.
Hello there. And Earth Swartz.
Hi there, everybody.
Welcome. You've been together for, what they say, 3.5 years.
That's right.
And you're on the verge of getting
married.
Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're excited to have you in studio with us. I met Jesse about, I'm thinking, 6 years ago. And you agree with that, Jesse?
Yeah, that sounds
I met
about
you
right.
About 6 years ago. We were both working in restorative justice work at a place called an organization called Restorative Resources, and we got to know each other. And I had no idea you were family. You kept that very secret. And Uh-oh. Then we saw you and Earth together. It's like, what? I couldn't believe it. It's like after you and I had both left that organization, and here you are in my life again. It's just awesome. Mm-hmm. So happy to have you.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah, and I met Jesse a couple times, different places, and then Earth, and then both of you at the synagogue, which was really nice. And we started talking about coming on the show, and so here you are. And so we get to know Earth and Jesse soon. We'll learn about their talents and their passions and how they navigate the world. But first, here's news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer and dear friend, Greg Moralia.
I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for the week of March 4th, 2018. The Pentagon confirmed last week that a transgender person has signed a contract to join the U.S. military for the first time since the ban on transgender recruits was lifted pursuant to a court order. Major Dave Eastburn, a Pentagon spokesman, said that the contract was signed and that the individual met all standards, including medical, to serve in the military. But he declined to comment on which branch of the military the recruit is joining. President Trump tweeted last July that he would ban transgender people from serving in the military in any capacity. He followed through with an August memo that banned transgender recruits from enlisting, blocked funds from being used for transgender transition-related surgery, and directed Defense Secretary James Mattis to study what to do with existing transgender troops. Several courts have prevented the ban from being enforced while lawsuits are pending. And last week, the U.S. Supreme Court let stand an Arizona decision that recognized a woman as the legal parent of a child she and her same-sex spouse conceived through assisted reproduction. The High Court declined to review the Arizona Supreme Court's ruling in the case, issued last September, involving the mother who sought to be recognized as a parent. The Arizona court ruled that it would be inconsistent with the Obergefell same-sex marriage decision to conclude that same-sex couples can legally marry, but then states could deny them the same benefits of marriage afforded to opposite-sex couples. Sarah McLaughlin and Kimberly McLaughlin were married as a lesbian couple and had a child in 2011 using an anonymous sperm donor. After separating in 2013, Kimberly stopped allowing Susan to see their child, and Susan filed suit to be recognized as a parent. The Arizona Supreme Court, the Arizona Court of Appeals, and the trial court all held that Susan should indeed be recognized as the legal parent to the child. And then in a second LGBT civil rights decision last week, gay workers and their corporate supporters won a victory over the Trump administration when the second U.S. District Court of Appeals ruled that firing people over their sexual orientation is a form of illegal sex discrimination. The appeals court in Manhattan overturned its previous ruling, saying that legal doctrine evolves. It's the second ruling in the U.S. to break with precedent in finding that workplace discrimination based on sexual orientation is illegal. A third appeals court ruled the other way last year, and the split now sets up a possible Supreme Court showdown. And here locally, Listening for a Change invites you to participate in an LGBTQI oral history project. They're looking for interviewers under 40 years of age to talk with elders who are over 40 years of age. A training workshop on how it all works is set for Saturday, March 17th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts. This project is being sponsored by the Sonoma County LGBTQI Giving Circle. You can learn more at listeningforachange.org. For a calendar of LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the LGBT news headlines we're following, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diane and Sheridan, and I'm Sheridan. In studio, we have Jesse Hankins and Earth Schwartz. Soon to be married. They're going to tell us all about it. Welcome. We're so happy you're both here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So let's start getting acquainted with our audience. Why don't you share a little bit, Jesse? Let's start with you about, just share a little bit about you and what you're doing in your life. And
sure. So I've been in Sonoma County for about 8 years now. I was born in the Midwest and just kind of slowly made it out here. Lived in Colorado for about 6 years, went to undergrad there in Boulder, and my family all lives there now, but I just kept wanting to be in California. So came out here when I graduated college.
And why was that? Sorry, I have to interrupt you with that.
It was kind of like just one of those like lifelong dreams from the time I was in high school. Like California was just like the end goal, like the promised land or whatever. So I wanted to go to undergrad at UC Santa Cruz, but I didn't have good enough grades to get in out of state. So Boulder was my second choice, but I still knew that it was just kind of a stopping point on my way to California. So I lived in San Francisco for a year, couldn't afford it, and discovered Sonoma County during that year and started coming up here more and realized this was where I wanted to be. So been here about 8 years now. I used to, like Sheridan said, we met at my old job at Restorative Resources, where I worked creating a restorative justice program for young adults in the criminal justice system, which was really amazing and moving work, but hard work. And I was ready to look for new opportunities. And about 8 months ago, I started working at LGBTQ Connection, which is where I'm at now. And I love it. It's an amazing opportunity to work with young LGBTQ people in the area and create community where there's a lot of disconnect.
Did they find you? How did you get that job?
So I'm also in school. I go to Sonoma State getting my master's in public administration. So I was in a class, not paying attention and looking on the internet for jobs and found the job on Craigslist and was sitting in an evaluation class reading about this job that was for an evaluation and program manager. And it just seemed like an incredible opportunity right away. I was just like, this is my job. And it was a lengthy process to apply, but it was worth it. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Great. And Earth, what about you?
I am a new Sonoma County transplant, new being 3.5 years ago. Feels like I just moved here, but it's been about 3 years or more. I moved from New York. I am a New Yorker, true and true. But I actually used to live out here about 15 years ago, and I always said I'd move back. But so I moved to New York City, lived there for about 10 years, Brooklyn, East Village. And I'd lived bi-coastal for those 10 years, back and forth between, you know, North Bay area, San Francisco, and always said I'd come back. But I kind of had both coasts, so I was content doing coastal flipping. But I came back, and so I'm here. And I moved kind of for quality of life change and more nature. And it's been pretty good. It's been a tough adjustment. I miss New York quite a bit, but I go back a lot. Mm-hmm. So it's been good. But it's been a big shift to move my work and my life from there to here, just completely different lifestyle and also very different queer community. I'd say that's probably been one of the hardest adjustments coming from like the Mecca.
So yeah. Can you say more about that? Like little examples
sure.
or something? Yeah.
It is so common to be gay, queer in New York. There's so many events and things you can do. It's just around you. It's you don't have to look for it. And I really felt like when I moved here, I had to really look for it. I don't particularly feel our community is the most queer-friendly community. They're open, but it's a pretty hetero white community here, and that was kind of hard for me. I really love the diversity of New York. I love all the people you meet, doing all the different things that they do, and especially in the queer community, it was so active. There was so much advocacy going on. Everyone you knew somewhere was involved in some great project, or I have a friend who has a radio show there, and she does really rad things with it. So yeah, I was just really missing that here. It's here, but I feel like I have to look for it a lot harder. Or people kind of hide under the rocks. In New York, it's just out and about everywhere. You can't deny it. It's there. So yeah, just different lifestyle. Totally different.
So what are you doing? I mean, why are you here? You should be smiling
okay,
at me, y'all.
I am an autism specialist, child advocate, and special needs consultant. I've been working with kids with autism for about 18 years, doing early intervention therapy, curriculum development, behavioral consulting, and now I'm really more interested in doing advocacy work and working with those that identify with autism as self-advocates and really trying to make more of the autistic community a stronger presence here through the neurotypical community and the autism community. So I'm really interested in expanding the services here and the supports here for families, for those that identify with autism, and starting my own private practice back up. I left that in New York, so I'm starting from scratch. And looking to just build a lot more community and do a lot more leadership and improve the platform here for autism and the services that are around, which I tend to find are pretty lacking. And I find a lot of families are struggling with what they're being given here, and I would love to change that.
Wow.
Yeah.
You mentioned a term that I think I understand what you meant, but I just wanted to ask you for clarification.
Sure.
I think you used neurotypical.
I did.
Could you explain what that is?
Sure. So I would say the term neurotypical is newer. It only really became a formal term about 10 years ago, maybe 12 or 13 by now. But it's basically saying that those that are not given a disorder or a disability are neurotypical. Those with a typical diagnosis of quote-unquote a disability would be seen as neurodiverse. So it's a much more progressive approach to ability and disability. So it's if you support a neurodiverse approach, which is what I do, I believe that everyone is born differently with different abilities. Our brains, and it's actually a neurological concept, that we are all wired differently, that it's not dysfunction necessarily, it's not necessarily disability, it's that we are wired differently. And the goal is to really see everybody through a lens of ability, not disability. And so it's kind of a real progressive term right now in the autism community.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
I like the way you described that. That's good.
Thanks.
Good medicine, right?
Yeah.
Good medicine, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no one really likes using the term normal or abnormal anymore. So instead of saying you're disabled or abled, it's just neurologically you're typical or diverse.
Mm-hmm. Different abilities. I like that. Yeah.
So how have you found starting over? That's quite a lot. It's huge. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of perseverance. How has it been for you to start over as far as your job goes?
It was a big leap to leave New York.
Yeah.
It's a pretty large network there, a really big community, but I really just felt that I had to trust that putting my self-care first and my health and my sanity would rebuild my career. And so I just took some time to myself the first year or so that I was here and worked with an agency and started to work with families little by little and kind of questioning if I'm going to do something bigger, which I am planning on, but I can't say what yet. It's been tough. It's tough to leave your whole caseload, clients, network that I built for 10 years with professionals and different service providers. And even in New York City, it's a huge place, but you start to get to know people. So it's been interesting rebuilding here in a real small town. I'm finding that kind of funny, crossing my personal life, my business life, and my all of it life is interesting. But it's been pretty good. I'm really interested and intrigued to see what kind of clientele is here that's different than New York. I think that's what I'm most excited for. I think a lot of my philosophy is a little more progressive, and I was really, and I am hoping that a lot of families here are open to that. And so I'm really, at this stage of my career, almost 20 years later, I'm ready to work with families where we really have the same vision and we really think alternatively and are really open to supporting each other with whatever needs my clients have. So I'm excited to see what comes out of Sonoma County. Yeah.
I can really hear your passion. It's your job, but I
thank
can,
you.
Yeah, I can really hear your passion around it. That's great.
Thanks. Yeah, I really love autism and I love people with autism. I think they're incredible, magnificent, unique, different beings with many gifts and talents and with many special traits that a lot of people don't recognize right away. And so I just think they're incredible humans.
Wow, good.
Yeah.
So, Earth, you 3.5 years here, and you talk about self-care, that you needed to make the move. And I'm wondering the connection with you and Jesse, did that have anything to do with you coming to
well, come on. Maybe. I'd say it was serendipity more than anything.
Yeah, it was definitely serendipitous.
When we connected, Earth was already planning to move out here.
Yep.
I probably had something to do with the fact that she ended up in Sonoma County.
Yes. I was going to move to Oakland because I thought it was much closer to Brooklyn vibes. But the nature was up here. Jesse was up here.
Well, how did you all meet?
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. And I know people listening are going, well, how did they meet? Because, you know, you've been together 3.5 years. And Earth, you've been here 3.5 years. And it's like, that did not escape me. What is going on? So.
Yeah. So like I said, a little bit of serendipity. Earth was already planning on moving out here when we first connected, which was summer of 2014. I think that's the right math. And Earth and I knew of each other from a band called Fish. And they've got a pretty large following throughout the country. We both have been seeing them for many, many years.
I've been seeing them since 97.
Long time.
And me since long time.
2003.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we knew of each other from that community. I knew of Earth as like the only queer woman that I knew of in that community. And it just so happened that when we connected was when I was starting to question my identity and realizing that I didn't really think I was straight. And
well, that's a story.
Yeah. And I knew Earth was someone on my radar, as like at least just someone I could talk to about it. And she picked up on that.
In a parking lot at a Fish show. Actually, it was at the Fish show. But yeah, I have been, like I said, bi-coastal for many years, so I have a lot of friends that live out here. So I knew Jesse through our friends that I've been friends. We have a lot of joint friends and crossover, mostly because of this community, Fish, and music in general. And but when I saw her at a show, I kind of got the sense, I will admit, and I hate to admit this, but I maybe kind of outed her a little bit. because I, as a queer person, but who lived in New York for 10 years, so I got to be exposed to queer culture so much more. If I hadn't ever moved to New York, I don't know how people in our fish community ever really come out comfortably, because there's so few queer people, really. And so even myself coming out many years before, I just never really saw that much of a queer reflection in this community. I kind of felt like on my own in a way, or I kept my queer life very separate somehow. Not intentional, it just seemed like it was that way. And so when I saw Jessie, she kind of like reminded me of me in a way, where she kind of, you know, a lot of similar things. We both had a lot of guy friends, you know, what are the other things?
I mean, I think you always just kind of saw me as someone that like held their own kind of, I don't know, wasn't, a lot of our friends are coupled up already, mm-hmm. and you saw that I wasn't really ever coupled up with anyone.
And she was a really cool chick. She's friends with all the guys. I'm like, this girl may be on my team. I'm going to investigate this.
Yeah, so I saw her at the show. We exchanged numbers because we hadn't seen each other in a while, and she was recently single, and I probably knew that.
And she knew that. She knew that. She admitted that like 2 months ago to me. She knew that.
Yeah, and we were trying to hang out afterwards, but it didn't look like it was going to happen. And I looked down at my phone, and she texts me, "Let me just ask you this: are you into women?"
Whoa!
It was bold. You know, I don't usually do that. I don't like to assume or be that forward per se. But I just kind of felt like I could see people, I don't know, getting swallowed up by this community and not feeling like they had that safe person to talk to in a way. And I really reached out to Jessie to just be like, hey, you know, and I think I texted you this. I said, you know, if you ever want to talk, I didn't say it, but I said it without saying it. I was like, you know, I know sometimes it's really hard in this scene. So, you know, you seem really cool and cute. Let's hang out.
Yeah, and I took it as she was straight up hitting on me.
Well, I'm not like, saying I wasn't.
Really, I think you're really cute, and yeah. I just want to put that out there if you ever want to talk more. And I was like, yeah.
So you were excited that she was hitting on you.
Yeah.
Yep.
So how did you respond, Jessie?
I tried to play it cool, but responded like, yeah, actually, I would like to talk to you more about that. And that part of that was genuine, like, yes, I am looking for people I can talk about my identity with right now because I am unsure. And the other part of it was like, I think she's really cute. And I'm glad she asked, because I don't know if I would have had the guts to tell her that I thought she was cute otherwise.
Uh-huh. So I think that would be a good direction of coming out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm curious to, you weren't sure.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about your coming out? Mm-hmm. You have a story?
Yeah, I mean, my story is I spent the first 28 years or so of my life trying to convince myself and everyone around me that I was straight, mostly myself. And probably about a year before I connected with Earth, I started to just really look at myself in a deeper way and realize that if I didn't really look at this part of myself, I would maybe never be happy. So I started to be open to the possibility of not dating straight cis men. What really was a shift for me, because like Earth said, like I didn't have a lot of community that I could go to that I could talk to. I had some gay male friends, but no women that I knew that I could really talk to about it. So I started looking to TV, because that's what we do. We like look for some way to relate. And The Real L Word was on TV at the time. And it really, I started watching these people have relationships that I realized that's what I wanted. Were these like, it wasn't just like, oh, they look cute together, but it was like really seeing like what a relationship looked like between two women that I was like, that's what I'm missing in my life and that's what I think I want. So I just started to be open to it, and Earth picked right on up on that. And so,
Gaydar.
Yeah, strong Gaydar at this one. So I had already come out to myself at that point, but I hadn't really, I had mentioned to a couple of friends like, oh, I think I want to try dating women, but I hadn't really come out beyond that. So for me, my coming out was kind of tied up in my relationship. It was more like I have a girlfriend than I'm queer. Mm. And that worked for me for a while. And then I got my job that I have now, and I realized that I really needed to form my own story and my own identity that wasn't just tied up in having a girlfriend. Mm. So it's been a process, and it's still kind of unfolding. But I'm definitely grateful that she asked me that question that day, because I don't know where I'd be if she hadn't. Mm.
Mm. Wow. Thank you, Jesse.
Yes.
And thanks, Earth, babe. What about you and your coming out story? I have a feeling you came out something? A long time ago.
Earth, you want to say something?
No. It was just sweet to hear. Yeah. What was that you said? I missed what you said.
That's okay.
She was in the moment.
I was in the moment.
Yeah. Well, see, Diana's a therapist.
Yeah. No.
And Sheridan isn't, and Sheridan missed that.
No.
So. Okay, so what I asked you, Earth, was your own coming out story, and then I suspect you came out a long time ago, not like with Jesse. She's relatively new, I guess, in her development.
Right. Yeah. I definitely came out longer ago. I'm also 6 years older, but I think I kind of came out late, sort of, in my mind. I never even formally had a quote-unquote coming out, exactly. I just knew that I liked women, kind of. I dated men, but I, you know, my teens, early 20s, but then by 20, I'm 38, and I just started dating women because I liked them as people. And I didn't think anything of it, in all honesty. And I would have never back then even like thought that I would have identified as queer. But as soon as I, you know, had my first girl crush, and which was probably when I was 21, I you know, it was pretty obvious, like right on. But, you know, I continued to date men too, and I dabbled a little back and forth and just really kept identifying as like, I'm a person who likes the person. Mm-hmm. But I felt pretty classic, stuck in the middle, you know, like the bi stereotype where it's not cool to be bi. Neither side likes you. And you're the lesbian side is like, who's this bi girl? She's probably going to go back with that guy one day. The straight side is like, we don't know what to make of this girl. And I never really fit in any group my whole life. I'm just not, I'd like to, but it's just not my thing. And I was always kind of in the middle, and no one even like talked about pansexuality or liking the person. You had to choose, kind of. That's what it felt like. And so for my Saturn return, that's what it was all about, choosing. I was like, which way do I go? I have to choose. And then for a while, I just kind of said, but, you know that I'm not straight. That's one thing I know. I don't know what I am, but I know I'm not that. And so I didn't really like the whole label thing for a long time. But then when the queer community started to really make their self known in New York, it became really obvious that that's where I fit in. You could be fluid. You could identify however you want. You could like whatever sexuality. You could identify however you want. And that felt like me. My brother is also gay. He came out when he was a baby, like when he was 14. We knew he was gay when he was 2, like out of the womb. Mm. So I compared myself a lot to him. I was like, well, I'm not that gay. but, you know, then the more I dated women, I was like, okay, I'm pretty gay. But yeah, and then in my later years, I just started to really love the queer community because it felt like a really welcoming umbrella. And I didn't have to pick. I didn't have to be one thing. But then I really started to just identify with the queer community and queer culture and my, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did actually kind of have a coming out story to my mom. I said, you know, Mom, I'm dating this woman and she has a PhD. And that was like, that was the lure to get my mom into liking the conversation. Because I said, I'm dating someone that's got a PhD. And, it was on Thanksgiving. And this was like years after dating women. And she just, I said, you know, I also went to the Pride Parade. She's like, oh, you went with your brother, right? I was like, nope, I went for myself. And she just couldn't grasp it. She was kind of like, but you've dated men. I don't get it. This is the phase, right? And so it was kind of hard to like convince the parents that it was not a phase for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Even though they had met my partners and girlfriends, even meeting my fiance, I think it was still a challenge for them, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So we will continue. I think this would be a nice to continue the support system topic. But I think it's time for a break, time for a song. You have a song.
Oh, yeah, we do. Because we love fish so much, we are sharing a song with you called Waste. And one of my favorite lyrics in that song is about wasting time with your loved one.
Wasting time.
Yep.
With your loved one.
Don't wanna be an actor pretending on the stage. Don't wanna be a writer with my thoughts out on the page. Don't wanna be a painter, 'cause everyone comes to look. Don't wanna be anything when my life's an open book. A dream, it's true, but I'd see it through.
If I could be
wasting my time with you. Don't wanna be a farmer working in the sun. Don't wanna be an outlaw always on the run. Don't wanna be a climber reaching for the top. Don't wanna be anything where I don't know when to stop. A dream, it's true, but I'd see it through. If I could be to hear it
that was Fish called Waste. And we're in studio with Jesse and Earth, Diana and I, and this is Living Proof. If you've just joined us, we're having a fascinating conversation with these two women who are fiancés.
Yes.
So we wanted to ask you just a little bit about this song, because this is my first introduction to Fish. And what is it about this song that you said you love the lyrics, Earth, but could you just say a little bit more? Because we were talking about it during the music break, and it's a very interesting premise, what this guy is talking about or singing about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To me, it just means, you know, a lot of times we're always worried about how we're spending our lives, and I've got to fill every minute. I've got to make the most of every minute. I'm watching the clock. And I often feel guilty when I waste my time not doing other things, being productive or whatever that is. And I think about really what I want to do with my favorite loved one in life is to just kind of let time go by and not do that and not worry about it. So it's okay to just like waste that time, but together. And then you're not really wasting the time because you're together, like you said.
Yeah.
But
I think it's like shifting like the idea of like what do you do, and like you have to do something to like who are you with and who are you mm-hmm. spending time with.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, just do nothing together.
Yeah.
And that's doing something. It's the best thing sometimes when you're just...
For me, when I come from a very productive, quote-unquote, family, everybody had to do everything. We're all in college, you know, parents, you know, educated, all that stuff, meetings, volunteer work. And it's been a long process for me with Diana. You know, we just celebrated our 40th year in December to be together.
Wow.
And it's taken me a long time to just relax and not feel like I have to, like you were saying,
are you from the East Coast?
No. No.
Southern California.
But I was filled with guilt, like, mm-hmm. I'm watching television. I should be, you know, writing. I should be practicing my flute. All the shoulds,
right?
Yeah. Yep. And I've learned that actually it's kind of fun just to hang out with Diana and watch TV. Mm. So what? Yeah. We're having fun. We're talking. We're laughing. Right. I think it's a great discovery that you both made. And this song is like going to be, I think I'm going to listen to it again.
Cool.
Are you that way too, Jesse? Really structured and like got to keep busy and...
No, I'm the one,
the opposite.
Yeah, I'm the one that's telling her, like, hey, babe, let's just slow down. Let's take it easy.
chill out.
I really thought moving from New York would, like, slow me down, de-stress me. It came right with me. I brought it all to this coast.
Well, maybe, you know, Jesse can help be a reminder for you. I mean, balance is really, I think, important. It sounds like you really, you know, tried to save your soul when you came out here. Right? Save your life, be more into nature and stuff. And Jessie's probably part of that.
She is
formula,
a huge part of that.
Yeah. Aww.
Yeah. She grounds me. She keeps me grounded.
Mm-hmm. And she helps remind me to, like, you know, have a little routine in life. we complement each other well.
Isn't that fabulous when that happens? Yeah.
I'm watching her fire grow. And I think I'm calming my fires. I'm a Leo. She's a Pisces Aquarius.
Yeah, so I kind of like put her fire out, and she stokes mine up a little.
Or how does Chani say it? Chani's our favorite astrologer. She's very, you know, queer community in New York based.
Chani Nicholas.
Chani Nicholas.
San Francisco based.
San Francisco and New York, I thought. Anyway.
Huh.
She says fire and water together
make steam.
I love that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Steamy hot.
Yeah.
So let's move to your your upcoming marriage and your proposals, because I understand that's quite a wonderful story. Who would like to start?
Well,
this is Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse here. Well, I was going to pass it over to Earth because we both have a story to tell. We both proposed to each other.
Yeah.
I proposed recently, just a couple weeks ago. Earth proposed to me first on Christmas of 2016.
Ooh. I'm Jewish and I'm the biggest Christmas loving nerd anyone's ever met. So it was almost more of a gift to me that I got to propose to her on Christmas.
Can you tell us about it?
Yeah.
Sure. I really believe in angels. I have a believe I was saved by an angel when I was younger in a car accident when I was 16. And they're very special to me. And I just see them as my protectors, my guides in life. And I tend to meet a lot of other people, too, that have met angels and feel they've been saved by angels. And they're with them. So they're my protectors and guides. And I love the movie It's a Wonderful Life. And every time a bell ring, an angel gets her wings.
Well, we watch it. We watch it on Christmas every year. Yeah. My family, and we turned her on to it the year before.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I really fell in love with it, and so I planned a proposal. I would have loved to have proposed to her on like a mountaintop, quiet, just the two of us. But I believe I heard her say, "Wouldn't it be nice to have all of our friends and family around?" And that was like the opposite of what I wanted. But I said, "Okay, I love this woman. I'm going to do it." And so I planned this whole proposal with her whole family and had each of them involved. Wow. And I ordered bells from around the world, and each bell has like a different meaning and story. And I wrote a little poem thing about it. And I gave each one of members of her family, including her niece, who's like five, a box with a bell in it. Each person read a poem, and the poem had really loving kind of vows of how I was going to commit to Jessie and what I would do for her in our life together. And
the last box had a ring in it.
What?
Yes. You got that one right.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yep. Did you just start crying, Jessie?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was, I sensed something was coming because this one is like a ball of nerves sometimes. And so we're driving together out to Colorado for the holidays, and she kept just like screaming.
like shrieking in excitement.
She had to just like release energy, and she was very paranoid about leaving the car. Like she had to go back and check to make sure it was locked. So I kind of had a sense, but we were also about to go on a trip together to Thailand and Vietnam, so I thought maybe she was going to propose there. I wasn't sure, and I was just trying to not have any expectations. So, and I never ever could have predicted the way that she did it, and it was so incredibly special to have my whole family there and to be at this cabin that we spend every holiday at, that my whole family helped build. So it was just really, really special.
And I'm a big romantic, so Leos are lovers, yeah. And I really thought about, like, what's the most over-the-top thing I can do at the cabin? And I started to think about, like, maybe I could find a moose somehow, get a ring. And I'm like, I don't know where this is going, but I was like, I got to dial it back. Let's dial it back. I don't know if I can get the moose in there, but because there's always, like, moose that go by the cabin. Mm-hmm. So that didn't happen, but the bells really felt right. And I said to her parents, I said, she's the angel that came in my life, and she is my angel. So it felt right.
Wow. How many family members, I'm curious, around the table there?
My mom, my dad, my sister, her husband, and my niece. Mm. So,
and they are such a warm and incredibly loving family that really enjoy spending the holidays together. It's interesting. It's wild. It's great. I love it.
And they love Earth. Yeah. So it was really special.
Beautiful story. Mm, thank you for sharing that, Earth.
Yeah. It was fun.
I wish you would have had a poem or so to share with us. That would have been sweet.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But anyways,
next time.
So that was Earth's proposal to me, and I knew that she wanted to be proposed to also, and I'm a little bit of a procrastinator, so there's probably a while there where I just kind of pushed it off, and once our wedding date started getting closer, I was like, okay, I need to do this. If I wait any longer, like, she won't get to enjoy being engaged like I did, so I knew I needed to do it. We were just in New York 2 weeks ago. And so I knew we were going to New York. That's obviously, as you can tell, that's where her heart is. So I knew I wanted to propose there. Wasn't sure how.
You little have to top that one, right?
Yeah, tough act to follow. Another little tidbit about Earth is she loves magicians.
Loves magic.
So
street performers.
There's this particular magician named Justin Sight.
What's up, Justin? Hope you're listening.
Yeah, shout out. He's a blind magician who she used to see in New York as a subway performer. She always really loved him. Like, she told me about him years ago. We saw him together once in the subway, and I saw how incredible he was. So at one point, we thought about getting him to perform at our wedding. So we looked into it. He's a big deal now. He's not a Subway performer. He charges the big bucks. And so we decided we couldn't afford to fly him out to perform at our wedding. Wasn't realistic.
My fingers are still crossed. Not off the table yet. Okay.
But so I realized if we can't get him to our wedding, I could try to get him to be part of the proposal. Mm-hmm. So I emailed him. He was available. And so I coordinated this whole thing when we got to New York. I had a friend. I made up a person that was going to be a networking person that I wanted Earth to connect with in the autism community. And so I made up this person. I had a friend using her work number to pretend to be this person. They were going to meet at a coffee shop. I split up from her to go dress shopping. And then I was like, oh, wait, I couldn't find any dresses or there was appointments I didn't make. So I was like, oh, but I can come meet up with you. And it just happened to be right by the Brooklyn Promenade at sunset. So you see the whole skyline of New York. And
one of my favorite places.
Yeah. So I've got Justin, the magician, set up down the street. I've got my two friends, the one that was pretending to be this other person and another one in, with scarves on and umbrellas up and disguise to videotape for us. And I get her to walk down the street with me. I had to like pull her out of work mode and be like, babe, come on, the sun is setting, it's beautiful, just walk with me. And we come up to Justin's site, and she was like not even noticing him at first. I'm like, babe, I think that's Justin's site over there. And she's like, no, it's not, you go ask him.
And then while she's walking up to him, I'm like, oh, it's Justin's site, play it cool, play it cool.
Yep. So we start talking to him. She's asking him to come to our wedding still. He starts doing some magic for us.
Like, I get giddy like a 6-year-old child watching magic tricks. Yeah. So I am like giddy with excitement. Mm-hmm.
And then he does a trick where he takes my wedding ring. He makes it float. And then he makes it disappear.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have a video of it. It's real.
Wow. Yes. Yep. Video just for proof. And then we act like all of a sudden there's a magic box in my pocket, although it was always planted there. I act all surprised. She's still surprised. She hasn't caught on yet.
Not even close. I was so entranced by the magic.
Yeah. And then he makes my ring reappear in his hand. So he's like, if this is your ring, whose ring is in the box? And that's when I get down on one knee.
Yeah.
And it was just so fun to completely surprise her because she had no idea.
And it's pretty hard to surprise me. I don't think anyone's ever surprised me that good.
Yep. My friends are videotaping. She's like, oh, I don't even care about meeting this guy anymore. I'm like, babe, turn around. That's the guy. And it was our friends videotaping.
And they jump out. And that's when I really was like, oh my God. And I yelled like so loud. And everyone's like, were you crying? And I said, no way. I was jumping around like a little child, kid, like giddy and cackling. It was a riot. Oh. Couldn't believe it.
Oh my God.
It was the coolest. I really yelled out, this is the best, like the best moment maybe of my life.
Oh,
it's so sweet. And she could have put a string on that finger. I didn't care. She got Justin's sight there. There was magic, good friends, New York, the sunset. It was dreamy.
Yeah. I told her she was magic to me.
Yeah.
Oh. How sweet.
Yeah.
Special.
It's pretty sweet. And it was pretty funny coming back because so many of her friends were like, wait a second, I thought you guys already got engaged. I'm confused. Those are our more hetero friends. And I said, well, we get to do it how we want in this queer community. So we got engaged twice. So it kind of felt fun to like do it different and do what we wanted and how we wanted and honor both of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the proposal. Both of you have an opportunity to do that.
That's
yeah.
It's really fun different. To be on both sides.
Yeah.
So what about your families? And now that you're engaged, we heard a little bit about how marvelous your family is, Jesse. Yeah. And I'm assuming they are all for it with your marriage and stuff. Mm-hmm. Earth, what about your family?
Well, it definitely took them a minute, I think, to warm up to it, to be honest. It's a hard topic. That's the truth. And I'll be honest about that. I'm sure they're listening. Hi, Mom. My brother coming out much earlier before me, even though I was pretty much identifying as queer at that time, I remember coming out to support my brother. When he broke the news to my parents, I said, let me sit with you and I'll support you. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, I hadn't told them about myself yet because I just kind of felt comfortable and I didn't need to do that. So I think the focus in our family was really on my brother being out and supporting him for many years. And I think for me, they were just kind of hoping that I would honestly not be gay. That's how I felt. And so it was hard for a long time. But they came around and I think they saw it wasn't a phase. And, you know, when they met Jesse, it's just undeniable what an incredible human she is. And she's just a gem. And I think they really saw how in love we were with each other and how healthy we are together, how well we work as a team. So I think they, you know, we don't get to see my family as much. We see her family a lot more. But I think the more we hang out, I see them really warming up. And I wish we had more time together, but it's hard. They live in Savannah, Georgia. And it's been a process, you know. I think I'm watching my parents grow, accepting that they have two, or just my brother and I, they have two children and we're both gay. Mm. And I remember once my mom saying, please, just one of you give me grandbabies. That's all I want. Mm. Just please, one of you, you're our last hope. Because they really didn't think my brother would. But my brother totally wants kids. He wants to adopt or whatever he can do. And I fully want kids. So I think when my parents started to see that I wanted kids really more actively, they're really excited about that. Mm. So I think they're really seeing that we can create a family, even though it's not the vision that they had set for me, and that we are really happy together and we love each other. And I think we are a good team. I think they see that. Mm. So beautiful. It's a different journey. Mm-hmm. It's different.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thinking about everything that we talked about tonight, and our show is winding down.
Yeah.
We always ask our guests if they have words of wisdom to leave our listeners with.
And it could be, you know, based on anything that you've shared or just something that you've been thinking about, any kind of advice that would be beneficial, that could be helpful.
Something I read recently, someone talking about their partner, that really resonated with me, is something that I find in Earth that I hope that to me is what a good relationship should be. And it's seeing your partner as a great resource to you. Mm. And like the way that Earth supports me and believes in me helps me to be my best self and helps me to do really great work in our community. And I can't imagine any other way I could do it if I didn't have her support and her to come home to every night.
So your words of wisdom would be that you...
to find someone that helps you be your best self.
Mm. Yeah, it's truly a blessing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if they're not... what do you say to that?
Then, I mean, figure out how to be your best self on your own, too. Because until you really know yourself, I don't think you can find what you're looking for in someone else. Mm-hmm. And that was true for me for so many years. I kept trying to find happiness in someone else. And first, I had to really look within myself and find my own footing first. Mm.
Thank you. You handled that really well there, Jesse, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. She's good like that.
What you got, Earth?
Okay, well, the first thing that pops up is something I always heard my mom say that I tell so many people because I almost really didn't believe it. And I just love how my mom said it. And so I thank my mom for it. She always said, true love is friendship caught fire. And so I always kind of found myself in these like fiery relationships that really never ended in a good way. And I think because we didn't really necessarily have that friend foundation. And in all honesty, I really felt like I had that with Jesse first. I felt a true friendship. And I watched our fire and our love grow daily. And I didn't think that kind of relationship really existed. So Jesse really opened my eyes to a different type of love that I wasn't used to. I was also at the time focusing a lot on self-care. So there's two parts. One is definitely put yourself first. Like what Jesse said, if you really can't love yourself fully, that love with someone else isn't really going to last. So that's the first part. But in line with that is that I didn't think that that kind of love existed, where you really were best friends with your partner, or that you could be friends and then it blooms. And I watch our relationship kind of bloom. Mm. And I love that. And I really feel that that friendship is the foundation that makes us really strong. And so the advice or wisdom would be open to falling in love with someone that you didn't expect to fall in love with, because they may surprise you. Or be open to falling in love in a different way than what you think love is.
Wow. That's beautiful. Reminds of us.
Yeah. How so, Di?
Yeah, because we befriend. I befriended Cher when we were in college in the 70s at San Francisco State, and it wasn't that what you see on TV, that clawing each other craziness, right? But we've been together 40 years, and we look at each other sometimes, and we're laughing, and we're like, are we really doing this? Are we having this much fun? You know what I mean? Because of the basic, the foundation of the friendship, and how it just keeps growing. The love just keeps growing. It's like, can we go even further?
It's wild, right?
Yeah. It's wild. I understand. I love the way you both are talking and speaking to each other,
One more question before we go. And that is, you mentioned that you're starting your own business with autism. If there's someone that wants to get in touch with you who's listening right now, how would they do that?
My email or my phone number.
Which is?
Okay, email is Earth, E-A-R-T-H, Schwartz, S-C-H, W-A-R-T-Z, 13@gmail.com. And phone number is
707-595-0233.
795-0233.
Thank you.
Yeah, we should say something quickly. Have Jesse...
LGBTQ connections.
Some phone number or some connections where...
Yeah, check us out. Social media is a great way to stay connected. LGBTQ Sonoma on Facebook and Instagram. We have events coming up all the time. We have a fundraiser event coming up on the 15th called Beers for Queers. Mm-hmm. $1 from every draft beer goes to support our work, and that's going to be at Fog Belt Brewery. We have a training coming up at the end of the month. That's our first Spanish language LGBTQ best practices training. It'll be at La Luz Center on the 28th. And you can always email me directly at jessie@lgbtqconnection.org for more information.
Mm. Great. Thank you both so much for being our guests tonight.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you for having us.
We appreciate it. Remember, just like Earth and Jesse, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can support others in being free and living their lives authentically. It's another way to help the world. Like them, you too can be visible and vibrant in telling your story. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we'll be back next month. Until then, good night.
Tune in next Sunday night for Outbeat Music. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on KRCB FM Radio 91. And be sure to mark your calendars for this year's Sonoma County Pride Celebration. It takes place June 1st through the 3rd in downtown Santa Rosa. They're looking for volunteers. You can learn more at sonomacountypride.org. You are listening to 91.1 KRCB FM Windsor and 90.9 K215 CQ Santa Rosa. It is just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. Afropop is next.